listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, we're good on. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Cameron.
Hey, Cameron.
There's a new show on IFC. Brock Meyer. And the guy goes, hello, we're talking about Dodger baseball. Sound like Vince Scully.
It was cool.
Oh, you can come in, no problem. Oh, wow. That's the times of the future. The Egyptian. Anyway, welcome to Cameron Sports and Live. We're on the air, believe it or not, and also BBS Radio Network. And we're going to get a third. I can't tell you who
a
it
third
is.
We're going to a third one.
We're getting a third radio
soon,
station.
Soon,
yeah. And what it does for us, it gives us a lot of market share. And then we'll have exactly 425 stations.
Wow.
That's going to be, I love it. Now we have 325, but we're going to get more.
Wow.
We're never satisfied.
I know, but I swear to God, we were just at like 150 a few weeks ago.
Well, we're growing, baby.
We're growing.
Anyway, let's tell our listeners BBS up in Pacifica. We'll be there soon.
We're going to be there. I'm John Michael Capaldi, and we're going to be doing a show up there with me and a conference, and we're going to bring some really cool people. We're going to have a really great time. We're going to be in San Francisco talking about psychic and making your life better every single day in the best possible ways.
And by the way, they got good food restaurants up there.
Well, who doesn't love? You know, my favorite place in San Francisco, it's the old Prime Rib House. The House of Prime Rib.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that place, it's been there since time. My grandfather used to take me there a million zillion years ago. It's hysterical. I remember being like, 8 years old, yeah. Sitting at the bar. He'd be drinking an old fashioned. We'd both be having prime rib. I'd be eating a baked potato, some prime rib, and he'd be just having some meal like this. And I'd be just having
heart attack meal.
I could kill for that right now.
Well, what we're gonna do is we go to San Francisco. I'll take you to your place. You've probably been there, Katie's Grill.
Oh yeah, I love that place.
Katie's Grill is another one, and we're gonna take Jose Escamilla.
I'll be there.
See how you feel, baby.
I'll be there.
Contact in the Desert's coming up soon.
Yes, we're all gonna be there too.
We got a pass. You got a pass. Danny's got a pass. And I haven't heard from Amber Martinez.
God knows I haven't heard from her either.
Amber Martinez, your two favorite people are here.
I know. Shouting out, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And of course, we have our guest. We have Jose Escamilla and our friend James.
Oh yeah,
here as well.
James, by the way, introduce him.
This is James Wright.
Hello.
And yeah. James is an expert in all things that are all secret societies. He is part of the Knights Templar. He's a Mason. He knows everything that's going on in the world of the secret societies and the royal family.
Wow. Ooh. Hey, let's get this call.
He's my special guest. Oh, and UFOs too, just like Jose.
UFOs like Jose Escamilla. Let's get this phone call. You're on Cameron Sports Live. Welcome. Who's this?
This is Annie Jacobson calling in.
Yes, Annie Jacobson. Get Danny around. Annie Jacobson, you were a writer on one of the top series. Is that correct? One of the top series.
I do write television, but I am a national security reporter as well. I write about war, weapons, U.S. national security, and secrets.
Okay, cool. We're going to get Danny to come in. And how we got connected to you was by Uri Geller.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was telling me about the Uri Geller part.
Yeah, Uri Geller. So let's get Danny in. Danny Cruz, UFO follower. Anyway, so tell us about, first of all, about what you do. And to a lot of us out there, we say, wow, what a job you have. So tell us what you do so the public will know out there.
Well, I write, I'm a national security reporter, and so I write about secret programs and weapons, and I cover the Pentagon, the defense community, and the intelligence agencies, including CIA, NSA, and others. And my new book is called Phenomena, and it deals with the remarkable subject of extrasensory perception and psychokinesis, things that the average person would not realize the government is so interested in, but in my reporting I found out that they are.
Well, tell us tell us about a little. You know, the folks at home that hear about this and they go, "Well, is it real? Is it true?" Tell us about a little about the work of she's working on.
Oh, Uri Geller, now Phenomena. The book
right.
Phenomena.
Tell us about Phenomena,
about
the book.
With Annie Geller.
Yahoo! Uri Geller.
Uri Geller is a...
Tell us about the book Phenomena. Yes. This is Cameron.
Geller. Annie Jacobs, this is Uri Geller. Separates, not
yes.
Annie Geller.
So, yes, it's Annie Jacobson's time. And maybe, Annie, you can go into however the book, whatever's in the middle of your thoughts right now on your book, okay. Phenomena. What's the most important thing on your mind about your book?
Well, Geller is certainly an interesting subject. I mean, so many people know him as the Israeli spoon vendor, but in my reporting, I found out from declassified documents that he was indeed a CIA asset. And in the 1970s, they studied him intensely to see whether or not he was telepathic and whether or not he had psychokinesis, which is the ability to move matter with the mind. They determined he did, and the short version is that the reason that Geller left the program was because, and this was according to the CIA handlers that I interviewed, there was serious concern that he was also working for Mossad, which is the Israeli intelligence
Whoa,
service.
That's
no comment on Mossad, but let me ask you this about Uri Geller, because when I was a kid, they used to have a show. I'll tell you what show he was on. It was really kind of an interesting show. Mike Douglas had a show
out
of Philadelphia.
That. Yeah.
And they had Uri Geller on the show along with Cher. I didn't see the connection with Cher and Uri Geller.
He always liked to put opposites together.
Yeah.
And I remember that they had to buy new silverware for that place.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Yeah, he bent everything in the room.
So tell us about, you were telling us about Uri Geller. About his phenomenon. Now, what happened to him in Israel? Because I was, I served in the Israeli army, and there's always rumors about why he left Israel. Tell us, what was the reason that he left Israel?
Well, he left Israel and he moved to this fabulous home in England where he made a great fortune. This is what I found out in my research and fact-checked it with various corporations. Geller worked as a map dowser. And I mean, you're probably thinking, what on earth is that? Well, imagine a map in front of you. Do you know what map dowsing is?
Yeah, very much so. And psychic. I know all about that stuff.
You do? Okay.
I'm a parapsychologist. Yeah, I'm an expert in this stuff.
That's John Michael Capaldi.
Oh, I'm John Michael Capaldi, the resident psychic.
Yeah.
And parapsychologist.
Great. Well, the map dowsing was a talent of Geller's. He originally did map dowsing for Moshe Dayan, the famous Israeli defense minister from the Six-Day War. Remember the guy with the eye patch?
Right, the general. He was a general.
So Geller made a fortune in the 80s and the 90s working for major international mining corporations, map dowsing for them and locating gold and silver. Originally, he did it on a fee. He had £1 million fee per operation. And then he was so successful at it, he decided to work on commission. And so his fortune was built up by these extraordinary success stories that he had locating gold and silver and oil. No one could explain why. And then recently, Geller moved back to Israel. This was a great enigma. I went there to interview him at length and try and find out if he worked for the Mossad. And I was astonished when we wound, I said to Geller, because his spoon bending is incredible, his map dowsing is incredible, his telepathy is incredible, but I wasn't so sure about this idea of the Mossad, and I thought perhaps it might be a rumor or kind of like a boyhood fantasy of being a spy. And I said that to him, and Geller is a fascinating person with, by his own admittance, a huge ego. And so he kind of looked a little funny when I had said that I thought maybe that part wasn't true. And not 2 hours later, guess where we found ourselves?
Where?
We found ourselves at the private residence of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Wow.
That's phenomenal. So tell us,
I love
Benny. Yeah, Benny, yeah.
And by the way, all of the guards, all of the Mossad guys, all of Benjamin Netanyahu's protective detail were very familiar with Uri. I mean, they were on a first-name basis with him, said hello to him, and said, oh, will you bend another spoon for us? And it was amazing to sort of be out on the streets of Jerusalem with Netanyahu's protective detail. Geller takes a moment. Somebody runs into the guard shack, comes out with a spoon. You know, the guy moves his assault rifle to the side, and Geller bends a spoon right there on the street.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yep. So tell us, you know, how did you meet Geller? How did you meet Uri Geller?
Well, for the book Phenomena, I tracked down all of the original, or rather most of the original living CIA and Defense Department scientists who ran these programs starting in the 1970s. And I also tracked down the different psychics who were part of these different intelligence community programs. So Geller was obviously someone that I was really interested in interviewing. And when I met him, I found him to be incredibly dynamic, very sincere. I had read a lot about, you know, scientific skeptics who thinks that he's a magician. I interviewed them as well. But I was so compelled by Geller as a person that I interviewed him. I went to his home in England, and I interviewed him there. And then I also went to Israel and interviewed him for numerous days consecutively, to really try and see if there was a crack in Geller's facade. And there never was. I was amazed at his consistency with which he bent all of this metal under extraordinarily different circumstances.
Wow, that's a very interesting when you know about.
I look forward to reading your book.
Yeah, now tell us about Phenomena, the book, and tell us a little more about, you know, about, you said about Uri Geller was your influence.
Yeah, so
tell us about the book now. We want to buy that book.
Well, the fascinating thing I think about the book is that I take you all the way back to the origins of the modern era. And of course, all roads lead back to the Nazis. So I found in the National Archives, because part of my job as a journalist is to not only interview the individuals who were there, but make sure that I can fact check everything against declassified documents that I get either through the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request, or at the Library of Congress or at the National Archives. And I found that all of this began with a cache of Nazi documents that our intelligence agents captured after World War II. The Nazis had been working on these subjects, ESP, psychokinesis, map dowsing, and that's why there's so much of a stigma attached to it. But we found half the documents, we the Americans, and the other half was found by none other than the Soviets. And so this essentially set off what we know now as the psychic arms race.
Okay, so so the Soviet Union
still doing a hybridization of a sentence there, because if there are multiple, if they're interacting, engaged in the ones in control of the contracts, operating as the psychokinetics with the military technology, which I think we're working on the interplanetary dominion, interplanetary dominance of the United States, and we're moving with Israel quick on that.
Yeah, and also presently with Trump moving to, you know, with Israel giving them weapons, and also you know, the Israeli government working with China, mm-hmm. which we never would think. And Saudi Arabia is going to make a formal announcement to have a peace treaty with Israel. It's going to happen soon.
Well, and part of that has to do with that there's just so much going on there. We'll talk later.
Annie, this is Jose Escamilla. I have a question for you. In your research and findings dealing with national security, the CIA, and all that, have you heard anything about what might be going on in Antarctica?
Antarctica, that is a very interesting question. It's very mysterious. I'll point you to in the direction of the other pole. I do know quite a bit about the battle over the North Pole, which is going on between Russia and the United States. Also, Canada plays a role in there. But no, I have not heard and had access to anything, you know, to Antarctica.
Yeah, because a story
but
goes...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, story goes that... when World War II was over, a Nazi contingent moved into the inner area of the Earth there in Antarctica. And that, recently there's been a bunch of soldiers and things deployed to Antarctica. And there's something deep, yes, mysterious going on down there. So just wondering.
Well, it's all so interesting. And, of course, I am the author that wrote the book Area 51. Mm-hmm. I also wrote a book about the Nazi scientist called Operation Paperclip.
Right.
And then my book, Right Before Phenomena, is called The Pentagon's Brain, and it's about DARPA. So all of my books deal with these incredibly secret programs,
yeah,
with tentacles in what many people call conspiracies, but that I, in fact, find roots of truth in every one of these conspiracies. So maybe now I'll have to start looking into Antarctica. You've given me a great new lead.
I'm going to send you, I'm going to email you links to some of my films. I do a lot of controversial stuff that is bringing out the BS that NASA is feeding the world public. And I'm serious. I'm about to do a film that's going to bust NASA right out. It's going to be a pretty wild movie, man.
Well, you know, in the book Phenomena that I just wrote, I had the great delight of interviewing Edgar Mitchell, who was the sixth man on the moon.
Yeah.
And he was also a proponent of psychokinesis and ESP and conducted ESP experiments on the way to and from the moon. And when I was at his home in Florida interviewing him, he showed me these amazing artifacts. They were the original charts that he had written down, the logs, when he was working on these ESP experiments with a psychic back on Earth. And it was really amazing to see this original documentation that had made its way to the moon and back. And there it was in Ed Mitchell's hands as we sat there at his home in Florida.
I was on the Geraldo Rivera show with Edgar Mitchell. He sat next to me. But, you know, Annie, also, one more thing I want to point out. I produced a film called Celestial that proves that the moon is not black and white. It challenges anyone to prove to us that the moon is not full color. It is a full color celestial body.
Well, I will tell you something interesting. That earlier today, I was just talking to James. We were talking about the Tranquility Masons because the name of their lodge is the Tranquility Lodge. And we were just talking about that, like I'm not joking, an hour ago?
Yeah.
We were sitting there talking about it because he knows all about it because as a Mason...
He's a 32.
He knows all the
33.
Stuff.
32.
Oh,
32.
So...
Okay.
So he's...
he's a real Mason, okay?
But he's totally in... We were talking... Just talk.
Well, so there is a connection with NASA and... a lodge in Texas called Tranquility Lodge number 2000. You could actually Google that and go to their website. I may be wrong. I think it's T2LK. Just Google Tranquility Lodge, Texas. And all of your NASA people, Buzz Aldrin, just all of them, they're all Masons out of that lodge in Houston. It's the lodge that Buzz Aldrin established when they were on the moon.
Mm.
So there was formerly
the ritual up there.
Yes, did the ritual.
Yeah.
That it's speculated very strongly that that's what was meant by the eagle has landed because they were carrying the Scottish Rite eagle, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which, by the way,
about that, man.
Yeah, in the 80s, Fred Kleinek was the Sovereign Grand Commander, and his brother was the director of NASA.
Wow.
So really strong ties.
You and I are going to talk, man.
Anyway,
go ahead, Annie. It's very interesting when you see the sort of origins of this idea. I mean, sometimes I call them the Illuminati, but that's just kind of the kind of blanket name for whether you're talking about Masons or you're talking about a group of powerful people who seem to have a separate agenda. And I found that when I was researching Phenomena, that the early research for the CIA was done by a man named Andrea Puharik. He's often thought of as the father of the New Age movement, and he was also involved in the MK Ultra program for CIA, hallucinogenic mushrooms trying to open the doorways to perception. And in the Library of Congress, I found documents that had never been made public before that show that Puharik was also being co-financed by a group of extraordinarily wealthy investors, the DuPonts, the Forbes, and the Astors among them. And they all worked at this very wealthy area up in Maine where they all had summer homes. And Puharik's organization was called the Round Table Foundation. So, of course, these things that I've been talking about and that you've been talking about, they all kind of hark back to these very interesting archetypal ideas about, you know, secret societies and kind of knowledge that is both forbidden and known only to a few. And I think that is so interesting. And when it merges with national security issues, it becomes, you know, even more interesting.
Let me ask you a question regarding the presidency of the United States. Has there been a lot of involvement with who gets elected as president?
You know, that I don't know. I have not reported on that issue. Usually I report on presidential positions on secret programs because many of the operations that I write about occur under what's called Title 50 or Title 10. And that means that they're a black program, they're a secret operation, and they have to occur under a presidential finding. So you know, whether it's the old, here's an old example, the U-2 program when Gary Powers flew over the Soviet Union. It was such a compartmentalized secret program. Only, you know, Eisenhower knew about it. And that's kind of my access to the president. I don't know, or to my understanding of the president as an institution, but I don't know a lot about whether or not, you know, these puppet strings are pulled to get certain presidents into office, as I think your question is maybe asking.
Right. And what I was going to ask you is, now we have a guy like Trump who's involved, and we've seen a lot of crazy things the last couple of days.
I can shed a little light on that.
We got someone, an expert. James?
Yes. I, James, do declare that you can always predict the outcome of the election by the genealogy of the candidates, and whoever has the more strongest ties to the royal houses out of Europe and everything, they always win, bar none, hands down.
Bloodline.
Which was the case with Trump.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Clan MacLeod, Scotland.
Interesting. What about Clinton? Oh, wow. What she did not have?
Any genealogist worth their weight in gold in the world, the very reputable ones, they refer to her laughingly as the coal miner's daughter. It's not the Rodhams that you would...
Right.
They're nobody. But her husband, complete relations to the royal family. But she's nobody. So that's why she nothing.
She wants people to think that she, a Rodham, comes from a branch of Rodhams that comes straight out of the De Grey family.
I'm from the De Grey family.
Okay.
But
did we cousin, yo?
Good, I finally found a cousin.
Hey, brother.
Hi.
Anyway, now tell us about, I was going to, because of time limits, let's talk about on the military aspect of the world and what's going on with the planes, different things are going on with military. There's a buildup with the United States and Soviet Union. Is that all done through certain folks out there, or is it determined?
They absolutely share O's at fraternities, yeah. I mean, the stuff about Skull and Bones, Bush and Kerry. So,
right.
I mean, you have to ask yourself, what is the whole left-right paradigm when they all belong to the same clubs?
Right.
Did you know that Obama is a cousin of...
Yes.
Of Cheney and John Kerry and Bush.
Everyone has that.
Oh, yeah.
Annie, you're still with us, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. I just have a couple more minutes, but I'm happy to answer any questions you guys have if you want to use my
John Michael, you
national
ask
security.
You can ask, give him John Michael.
Ask a question. There you go. I'm going to round up.
This is John Michael Capaldi. He's a psychic, and also he's a life coach in Los Angeles.
Thank you. Well, I'm also a parapsychologist. One of the interesting things I found with Uri Geller or anyone else who can bend spoons, anyone else who's who is psychokinetic, when you're psychokinetic, you know, drowsing, all those abilities all come together because they're all about the physicality and the spirituality working together. When you worked with him and you're doing this book and you're doing all the research, how were you, besides watching him do this and when you're in Israel watching this work, how else do you think that the connection between all these people are working together? Because when you consider that all these very wealthy and very important people, like Benjamin Netanyahu, like our former presidents and our president now, all these people are interconnected. All this money, you don't make money like that unless you're connected and you're part of the club. And Yuri would have to be part of the club to be getting that kind of money for whatever he's doing. What do you think? Do you think you got all the truth from him, or do you think he might have been holding back from you, from telling you everything that's really going on?
Well, I mean, no individual who works with a top secret clearance or is working with the government and an intelligence community can tell you everything that's going on by the very nature of the contracts that they have and that they're obligated to. So over my career of reporting as a national security reporter, it's always a matter of working with different people to, you know, have them, they are right, very frank about the fact that there's many things that they cannot speak about, and that is just part and parcel to working in the world of national security. Whether or not they're part of a bigger club, I wouldn't really know how to accurately have an opinion about that, because I'm more familiar with the way in which the American national security apparatus works than an international situation. And what I find so unique about Geller is that I think he is working in a more international situation.
Well, you know, speaking of national security,
we gotta wind it down.
I'm gonna wind it down real fast.
Yeah,
in one of my films, I've shown how the NSA and the Air Force and the military said that UFOs are not a threat to national security, but they never said that they don't exist.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
They've always said that. Anyway, Annie, I'd like to stay in touch with you, if I may.
Yeah.
Well, you can get all this information from
I hope
Danny.
You guys have a... It's always fun to be on a radio show like yours. It sounds like you guys are having a lot of fun and you have a huge following. So keep me in the loop, and you guys have a great night.
Okay, thank
all
you,
awesome.
Annie.
You too.
Annie, it was a pleasure talking
okay.
to you. And then we'll get some...
Thanks so much.
We're going to look into other areas. Okay?
Okay.
So thank
good night.
You so much.
Bye-bye.
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 All right. That
bye-bye.
Was Annie Jacobson, and she was calling us from, looked like, Connecticut. And let's talk about James and the Illuminati. you know what's funny? I talked to you in the green room about the Illuminati. Yeah, yeah. A couple minutes and then we'll bring them in. Anyway, about the Illuminati. Tell us about the kids today. Every kid in America says they're controlled by the Illuminati, and it's funny. Some kids to me say they're like a rock band. Why is this name Illuminati out there?
Well, that's actually a good way of putting it, rock band, because it's been so injected into pop culture that I think a lot of people mistakenly assume that it's artists who are belonging or whatever. But no, I think, I mean, I've been around the block enough in Hollywood to know that, I mean, you look more to your creative directors
right.
for that.
Right.
Who's responsible for making a music video look a certain way? Who's responsible for dressing stars or outfitting them in accessories, bling, whatever, and therefore it's taken on a life of its own, because I think they think that that is what they have to do to mainstream, so to speak.
So let me ask you this about the Illuminati, because we, as like 20 years ago on the college campus, I went to school in California, and they talk about the Illuminati, it's bad. Why are they bad?
I can't ultimately answer, are they bad, good, because like with anything, like with Freemasonry, for example, you've got scores of good guys, but then you do have rotten apples in that basket. So it's a matter of really who in the moment controls the hierarchy. Which,
now, is there someone that is the head right now?
Well, there's factions.
Okay.
Competing factions, they fight, they bicker like any sort of a family, you might say. And then you get a lot of jockeying for power, especially in Freemasonry. It gets really bad. I mean, we're talking like Scientology levels of intensity.
Wow. So tell us, you're talking about Illuminati's and, you know, their importance on, I guess, the power structure of the election. I've heard them being part of it. I met one member in the White House. So tell us, people out there saying, okay, we know about the Illuminati, we know about the power. What do they do? What are they behind?
I guess, the chessboard that is...
The world.
Yeah, the world
everything.
Around us. And
we had an amazing conversation today about this. When you consider that the Catholic Church is, what's the name that the Masons in the Catholic Church are called?
Knights of Malta.
Okay, yeah. So then you've got the Scottish Masons they're called.
Knight Templars.
Knight Templars. Then what else? Some other names, and they're all different factions within the Illuminati that are all controlling different sections. So they all have different names claiming they're different things.
Right.
And they're all struggling. And yes, the Illuminati as a whole is controlling the world, but all controlling the different checks. You even got people in China that are part of this, that are part of the Communist Party, that are their own group of people within the Communist Party that are doing this, that are controlling what they're doing. They are everywhere. It's insidious. Everywhere in the world, they've got someone doing something. Even the ones who were in control of Russia when it was the Soviet Union stayed in power when it became the back to the Russian Republic.
Oh, yeah, and someone behind, they're behind Vladimir Putin.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, because he's shown a lot of, in the last couple of days, since we had the raid or strike, he's been showing a lot of feelings of rage, anti-Americanism. That's what's going to be going on in probably the next couple of years. And do you think Trump benefited from this whole raid?
I think Trump benefits with whatever Trump does, obviously.
Right.
A simple tweet, and it's raising stocks and creating a situation where, I mean, it's never been done before. So I don't think a lot of people can effectively say what will happen.
Right.
But, I mean, when you looked at the primary and when it came down to it, it was absolute that you could predict Trump based on bloodline.
Oh, yeah. They're all connected. It's all connected. You know,
there's not been a U.S. president who hasn't had
bloodline.
Those ties. They're all...
Royal bloodline.
Well, when you consider that... George W. Bush was related to every single president who's ever been president prior to him. And he's he and Cheney were cousins with Obama.
Interesting. Very interesting. So,
Cheney's wife actually outed that, yeah.
Yeah. So they're all interconnected. And there's, you know, we still have these bloodlines running everything.
Well, let me ask you both a question. With the 2018 race coming in and also the general election 2020, will we see someone else, another part of the power structure kind of go after Trump?
Well, they always will. But again, how real is that, or how much is it theater? Because, again, we're talking about it being orchestrated, so... I think they like to put on a good show for the plebs and
right
and because nothing. I mean, because Trump campaigned on drain the swamp and this and that. And what is he doing? He's filling it up with the exact
same
polar opposite
of
what he talked about. So it I don't know. That's really bizarre.
But every president promises and says the exact same thing and delivers exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
The thing is the next person will be president. Will it be Trump? Will Trump get out in 4 years, or will it be someone else in 4 years?
Right.
And whoever it is in 4 or 8 years will be part of the same power structure. And there's no one that well connected to a royal family right now who's even looking at the presidency. So it's definitely not going to be anyone in the if someone pops up in the next few years who has that kind of connection, who's closer than Trump, yes. But if he doesn't, 8 years, we'll have somebody.
It's always been royal bloodlines, right? In America.
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of Hollywood, too, because that's the whole red carpet, royal. And a lot of the Hollywood superstars, your Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, those type people, they are absolutely related.
Yeah.
Through the same means.
Anyway, so you have some books out. I just wanted you to express to people, how could they get in contact with you?
Yes, you can find me across all social media, James Robert Wright with a W.
Okay.
And I have a couple books out there, Freemasonry's Cult Abuses, Freemasonry's Filthy Rituals. You can find them now on iTunes. And just look me up and send me a request or whatever if you want to ask me something.
I will definitely. The next show, what we're going to do, we'll break down. What you wrote will kind of break down everything. So
absolutely.
I appreciate it, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We're going to get a couple more people, and I appreciate it, and And we'll see you outside.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, let's a couple things. We've got a wonderful theater opening happening.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Du Bois and Miss Ovington by Claire Koss, right?
Exactly.
You are now. We're going to introduce one of the band. Is it Guillory?
Exactly.
I took a guess. Yeah, okay, and you're artistic director. You have a lot of background in theater.
Yes,
I saw. So tell people, why should they see this play?
Well, it's a wonderful piece of work. One, it's an important piece of work. Two, it's about two historical figures. Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, he's probably familiar to some of your audience.
Okay.
Dr. Du Bois was a sociologist. He was the first black man to graduate from Harvard University, went to the University of Berlin. This is in the 1800s when
wow.
It was pretty much unheard of. He lived to 95 years old.
Good.
And had a body of work that just goes on and on. He wrote The Souls of Black Folks back in 1904, which is actually his most well-known book, I think. The Philadelphia Study, Africa, the Negro, and it just goes on and on with essays and other publishings that he's had. But he was one of the original founders of the NAACP. The play is about the early days of the NAACP. The first 5 years, he was the research and the publisher of the Crisis magazine, which uh-huh. was the heart and soul of the NAACP. Mm. And Miss Ovington was one of the original founders also of the NAACP, Mary Ovington. She wrote a book called Half a Man, which again was a study of the black man back then, that 30 years after slavery. She was a white woman who lived in Harlem and was quite an activist, really talked it, well, walked it like she talked it. She lived in Harlem back then, the only white woman to live in a block of 5,000 Negroes, as they were called back then. And the play itself is about 1 hour and a half on a Sunday morning where they meet in the NAACP office. And Dr. Du Bois, again, has threatened to quit because he isn't treated as an equal by the board of directors of the NAACP, which were all basically white people. The NAACP was founded by white people. A lot of people don't know that. But was founded by that. And
you guys have time to tell us where we get tickets because of time.
Mm.
Yeah, we're trying to get everyone.
Touching story.
It's very touchy. I like it. We got to have you back after the play and talk about a lot of these people that we don't know about in history. We don't know much about them.
Well, right. There's so many wonderful people in history. I mean, it's not exclusive to.
This should have been. See,
down on the quiet
something
holes.
Like this should have been taught.
Down the quiet holes.
To when I went to school in the 70s and 80s, we didn't know about this.
Well, the history books were written differently back then.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, the play takes place at the Los Angeles Theater Center. Okay. We're the Roby Theater Company, one of the resident theater companies there. One can get tickets at 213-489-7402. And the other phone number, the box office phone number, is 866-811-4111. 1-866-811-4111.
Okay, and what about online?
www.robytheatercompany.
See, I studied you well.
Oh boy,
he's got a nice background. And thank you very much, Phil Sokoloff,
father,
my buddy. So
Phil,
we'll have you back. I have a feeling we're going to get you back.
Well,
talk
I hope
about,
so.
Talk about a lot of different things now.
Tracy Dunn Blazer.
Woohoo! Yeah. Woo, yes.
So Tracy
conquering demons in the spirit world here.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
I am the resident demon slayer.
Oh, wow. That's like...
And red hair to go with
it. And red hair and demon slayer and
pretty yellow fingernails.
Tell us about what you do so people understand.
Well, I'm a spiritual empath, and what that means is that I read, feel, and experience the emotion of others. And that's the way that I can read them. I started this work because I was demonically challenged as a child. I had a lot of demonic attack from very, very early age. And it was a devastating thing because I was in my own world. I didn't have a relationship with religion per se through my family. It was something that I pursued on my own. But even within the constructs of religion, it didn't teach me how what was going on with me on the multiple levels of energy that I experience things. Because I've just written a book called Heal Your Soul History, Activate the True Power of Your Shadow. And it's about every human being has multiple imprints that they come into an incarnation with.
And they bring, and by the way, is the book available?
The book is available anywhere.
Through Amazon,
Barnes & Noble, iTunes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I've got five or six locations that you can go and pick up a hard copy right now here in Los Angeles as well, which is exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting.
I see you have your book with us here right now.
Yes, I do.
Heal Your Soul History. We're going to take a picture of this and share it all over the internet.
Yeah, and by the way, we're in the Bay Area. We're live and soon to be in Phoenix.
Wonderful.
And what I'd like to do with Ben Gilroy is have him back. You know, getting back to this great piece of art, because I think it's art myself. It's like art, watching art. And
performing arts.
And one last thing I was going to ask you. You've been in a lot of different plays. This is, you're directing this.
They're still here.
Now tell the people who the actors are in this so we get an idea.
Myself and Melanie Cruz. It's a two-person play.
Melanie, I heard her name. Mm-hmm. I've been in this town for a long time. So.
You're lovely and very talented young woman.
And
again, you know, the play is a conversation between the two of them. The conflict in the play is that W.E.B. Du Bois wants to quit. She wants him to stay. She understands his value. They accidentally meet in the office, and the repartee that goes on between them is that she is trying to make him stay. He is determined to leave because he doesn't think he's being treated fairly or equally.
All right. And this, by the way, what is the run for this? This is going to be from...
We open April 22nd and run through May 21st.
This would be a great way for the Easter holiday or Passover.
Yes, it would be.
See a great play. And this
absolutely.
And people out there that you want to see a great play...
We run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8 o'clock, curtain, a Sunday, 3 o'clock matinee.
That's very nice.
Your energy is very much the peaceful energy.
Yeah.
Your voice is very peaceful, and the time you spend with
I want to see the play. After this, I want to see the play. Anyway, everyone out there, go to the Los Angeles Theater Center, Theater 4, and call up at 213-489-7402.
Exactly.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And then, because of time, the book is available. And now, what can we learn from your book?
You can learn many things. First of all, I talk about five different past lives that I lived.
Okay.
My goal is for people to, through what they witness from my journey, and I've been in this industry for 25 years and worked with thousands of people with some of these issues, and so I tell their stories as well. In addition to helping to deal people to look at, you know, how they relate to bigotry and how they relate to racism and how they relate to these different things that they have inside of them that they have a hard time acknowledging, accepting, or transforming into something that can work for everyone and be
inclusive. It could be a powerful. Yeah, it could be a betterment of them.
Absolutely.
Because you know what it is? They had a... I forgot the station. I was listening to... I have XM Radio, and I listened to some lively shows from back east.
Yeah.
And they had a great show. Her name is Maud. Like, you know, the old TV series. And she has a show on XM that talks about... the new movement with the kids about racism, like what happened, I think it was South Carolina with the church, and all these different, you know, schools in the, I guess it's in the South, where they're taught hate. Mm-hmm. Parents are teaching them.
A lot of these new generations of young people, they don't have a lot of empathy. They're literally, their hard drive is different.
And I agree with you.
Differently. And empathy is something that literally, sometimes it has to be taught. And empathy is the thing that connects us and makes our world inclusive as opposed to being exclusive.
It's also our powerful gut feeling. Empathy is, I think, an empowering force behind our gut feelings, too. We get so sensitive.
Yeah.
Go with your guts, too.
It's the way we receive information. It's the way we communicate.
What you're saying is very important because out there in this world, people tend to judgment, cruelty, and what we saw in Syria.
Absolutely.
People dying, young babies dying.
Yeah.
So it's a world of no tolerance.
Absolutely.
We got to get back to the basic.
That's one of the business of
children rescuing, family rescuing.
That's one of the things.
We're hoping.
One of your book's purposes, right?
Yeah, that's exactly to help people find a way to cope and transform their emotional process. I mean, it's debilitating sometimes to watch the news today,
right?
And sometimes to talk to certain people and to have certain experiences, and so many people they're just not emotionally educated in how to do that. And I try to put that into words for people, and I talk about the positive purpose of a negative thought.
We're
afraid of our negativity when our negativity is what brings the light into our body. It brings us the information.
Well, negativity, the best ally was Ricky Henderson. He received in Oakland, they had a field named Ricky Henderson Field in Oakland. He says, I just was able to use my athletic ability to the best. And he talked about discrimination in Oakland and Alameda. And it was very interesting because his father worked on the train. If you're in Northern California, they have the old train lines. They used to connect.
As a porter?
Yeah. Yeah, he talked about the train lines and how people wouldn't respect the father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the 50s, the 40s,
right.
The 60s.
Yes.
And still, which is horrible to hear, it's still going on. It's not as bad, but it is bad. So that's what I'm saying. Now, how could they get your book? Will you autograph it?
Of course I will. If you go to beaslayer.com, that's
BeASlayer.com.
You can get to also TracyDunblazer.com, and you can get my book there. And then there's 1,000 different links that you can get my book anywhere. It is worldwide today. And it's the second volume of a series called the Demon Slayer's Handbook Series.
Okay.
And the first book is called Master Your Inner World, and it really addresses otherworldly beings, and it really breaks that down in a simple way. If you're not familiar or if you have fear, it's really intended to create a common ground between the people who have those experiences and the people who do not.
Now, you said you help people privately. Do you
I
have
do.
A phone number?
I do.
And a website?
I do. TracyDunblazer.com is where you want to go. TRACEE Dunblazer, DunblaZier.com. You can also like Tracy Dunblazer, Spiritual Empath, on Facebook.
Okay.
And you can email me from any of those sources, and I would love to talk to you about what's going on.
Well, it's good to have
call
you.
Call Tracy. Please contact
Tracy.
She wants to talk to you.
She wants to talk to everyone out there. Anyway,
call me.
Real quick, because we've got 2 minutes of time. I tell you, this radio, the show goes so by so fast.
It does.
I'm telling you. We had Annie Jacobson. Thanks to Danny Cruz. It was a great interview about the U.S. We'll get more if you get her again. Yes. I'd like to get more into topical stuff because I know things she don't know.
I was so honored to bring her to you, Cameron. I'm so glad you got Annie.
Yeah, but anyway, I had to go a special trip, and it wasn't a nice trip. It was just about what's going on with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are not saying yes and saying no.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say right now.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And we will probably have a feeling of what's where we're at. Probably in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the strike may have helped, but there's other problems involved.
Right.
You know, and different programs are being cut. Mm. Anyway, thank you all very much.
It's really a pleasure.
And Danny Cruz.
Cameron Datsker.
Danny Cruz.
That's life, everybody.
And by the way, one quick thing. We're going to be, our group is invited to the Cowboy Festival in Santa Clarita.
So that sounds like the beach, people.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah.
Beach.
It's actually April the 20th. No, but Santa Clarita.
That's not very.
Santa Clarita. No, they have Castaic.
Oh,
we'll be in preview.
Okay. Right. We'll be in preview. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay. In spirit.
Yeah, in spirit. Well, thank you. Very
I just
much.
Have to do.
Anyway,
wave.
Danny, I gotta get back to the show. So anyway, we'll be there. They invited us, and then we're gonna be in May. We'll be in. Where are we going in May?
Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree. We will be landing in Joshua
and
Tree.
And then I will be. Mm-hmm. I will be at the Israeli Festival.
Mm-hmm. Come
I've
on.
I'm invited in Orange County, which will be May the 7th. And then they have one in Santa Barbara, which I can't make because I'll be in.
It's a beautiful time to be outside. It's spring. Yes, enjoy
Joshua
the blue skies.
One last thing. Mm-hmm. We will be in Vegas. May, and when is it? May the 18th and 19th?
Yeah, to the 22nd.
Yeah, I'm going to be going for MUFON on a special symposium about Area 51.
Ken Pfeiffer, we want you. We want to
Ken's
going
to come on the show next week.
Steve Rowe.
And by the way, I'm sorry we didn't have the UFO phenomenon. Ken's going to come on the show next week.
Steve Rowe.
And by the way, I'm sorry we didn't have the UFO phenomenon. We advertise that. Next week, we will talk more. I've got a guy coming in that wrote a book about UFO phenomenon.
Great.
So we'll have that. Anyway, thank you all very much. And good night from
Los Angeles.
All right. That was Danny Cruz.
Good night.
Thank you very much. And what we'll say is next week, we'll tune into the UFO.
UFO news.
UFO news. All right. Let me get us off here. And then we are officially off the air. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker right here on LA Talk Radio.
One, two.